FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Now all we need is a little Energon and a lot of luck.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom.
Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers!
Hello everyone, I'm Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf, host of TFYLP. It's been a fun time podcasting over the last several years, but from time to time, scheduling and availability of the cast tends to make it difficult for several of us to converge at the same time to do the show. While it's an unfortunate but not often occurrence, it does give us the opportunity to share with you some of the history of this show in glimpses. This episode is just one of those episodes. If you've been a long-time listener of the show and have heard these before, we hope that you'll enjoy the look back. Or if you're a newcomer, we hope that you'll enjoy hearing some of the archived goodness we're about to present. So, without further ado, here's our first clip from way back on episode 25 when we were still called Geek Existence Transformers. The cast just consisted of Greg Metcalf and myself, and we chatted a bit about old toy finds. But speaking of GoBots, we'll move on to our little sub-segment here. What are you sending me here?
The link to Battle Unicorn. He is sold out, and they mark him down from $14.99 to $12.99 to get rid of him.
Well, I kind of figured he was sold out. I mean, it's been, what, 10 years ago that they
I know. I should have bought one. I waited too late.
I actually had two of them. I had one that I actually found in stores, but... I bought another one from Hasbro Toys, or not Hasbro Toy Shop, but BBTS, thinking that he was going to be really worth something since he was so rare. And, well, like you said, it took him quite a while to sell out. But anyway, as I was saying, well, about 6 years ago, a lady and her husband from church, they knew that I collect Transformers. And they approached me and said that they had some toys from their son that were in their either the garage or their attic. I can't remember which one. But they were just in the way, and she wanted me to take them. She was actually going to give them to me. But I just glanced in the box. I didn't see everything that was in there, but just I'm like, I've got to give you something for these. I mean, it's just not fair to take them for free. And she says, well, whatever you think's fair, but you can really just have them. I gave her $50, and it was really, in a way, ripping her off, but at the same time...
It was $50 more than she wanted for it.
Yeah, $50 more than she wanted for it. That's the way I was looking at it. And we got quite a haul from what I recall. You got a Metroplex... Superion and a number of things. Yeah, we split it up because there was a lot of it that I already had at the time.
Yeah, you pretty much got first dibs, and then anything you already had, you gave me. It's like you picked out what you wanted, stuff you didn't have, and then stuff you did have, that was duplicates, you just kind of left it on a pile, and I showed up at your apartment, and you know, you had it all spread out on the floor, and like, okay, whatever this that you don't have, it's yours. And yeah. I made up.
Now you got to understand, she gave this to me. It wasn't in a box or anything. It was like a bunch of toys thrown into a garbage bag. I mean, a really big garbage bag. It was a double-plied garbage bag. And, you know, it took Greg and I maybe an hour or two to just kind of sit on the floor, dump everything out, part it together. And a lot of it was in really, really good shape. I mean, it just looked like it had been barely played with and thrown down in this bag and then thrown in the garage and forgotten. Some of it, you know, had seen better days. But for the most part, they were in really good shape. After sifting through it and getting out all the transformer parts and transformers that we could discern out of it, I pretty much just took the bag and set it down in a box and forgot about it. And there's been a couple times I've got it out and kind of went through it. And one time I actually found a complete ram horn in it, a G1 ram horn. I'm like, oh, wow, how did we miss this? And it's like, I mean, I'd had it for years.
Well, we had and, combiner and CityBot overload, yeah, and our sensors just, you know, couldn't take it anymore.
I kind of got the bag out again this afternoon. I've been off all day, and I got the bag out of the closet and just kind of dumped it out on the table here in front of my computer and just started sifting through it. One of the large items that was just right there on top really caught my eye. And I'm like, you know, that really looks like a mask figure. I mean, it was in really good shape, too. And I turned it upside down, and sure enough, it had a Kenner stamp date on it. And so I went on the internet and Googled it and found out that it was the Mask Vehicle Stinger. And the only thing it is missing is one missile and the driver and the mask that goes with it. Other than that, it's complete, and the chrome is in super condition. The stickers are in really good condition. Looks like it had been played with maybe about a month or so, and that's it. And I'm like, well, what else is in here? I sifting through it, found a GoBot. I didn't know it, but I had a GoBot, a rather popular GoBot. Now, he's seen better days. I know that's a cliche now, but it's really true. I mean, his chrome is really, really black, and he's really floppy and loose here. And he does not have his blades, but I have a GoBot Copter.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, so I can honestly say I have GoBot Copter. And last but not least, I found in there it was an odd-looking car. I thought it was just a car, and then I flipped it over, and I'm like, hey, this thing transforms. And I transformed it, and I'm like, he kind of looks like a GoBot on the order of Baron Von Joy. I know one of your favorites from the mm-hmm. GoBot line. I looked him up, and this is Super GoBot Psycho, I believe is what the name of it was, and it was a member of the Machine Robo line. He's actually kind of cool. He's got ratcheting arms. The chrome is still in really good condition. He's got a few little paint scratches and chips and stuff, of course, from being in that bag for so many years.
I know this isn't a very popular thing to say, especially when it comes to Transformers. But some of those Super GoBots, aside from having the vehicle cockpit for a head, if they'd had actual heads, some of them would have been better than the G1 Transformers they were competing against. And
yeah.
I think that's a prime example, just the build quality and, you know, like I said, the ratcheting arms.
Well, he's got die-cast metal on him. And aside from the canopy being missing, if there was a canopy, I assume there was, on the top of the head, he's in really good condition. But, you know, I'm like, wow, this is really great find that I just found in a garbage bag laying in my closet that had been there for 6 years. So, yeah, old toy finds. You never know what you'll find going through your old closet stuff that you may have forgotten or not even really looked through it. And, you know, it brings up another thing. You know, check out the Craigslist and talk to people that you're acquainted with. Maybe they have no interest whatsoever in the toys that they grew up with, and they know they still have them. Some people are willing to either give them to you to get rid of them or sell them to you for a small profit. You know, you never know what you might get. I know Greg and I, we got a really nice find whenever it came to this. And, you know, it's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. I've still yet to find one of those deals. I mean, that was kind of through you, but I've yet to run into somebody that's like, oh, hey, I've got a bunch of my old Transformers from as a kid.
There's been a couple people at my workplace that's mentioned, you know, hey, you still collect Transformers? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I still got a few in my garage. You interested in them? And I'm like, yeah, you want to get together? And I'll look at them. And they're like, sure. And they just like never really get back to me on that, you know. And even if I ask them, you know, again, you know, let's get together and look at those toys, they're like, well, I don't have time right now. I'll get back with you whenever I do have time. I guess they kind of stop and think, you know, hey, I'm not going to pay them a whole lot for these toys. So they're probably going to think, hey, you know, I'm going to sell them on eBay and get a lot of prices, good prices out of them. So.
Well, I did have something almost, I mean, like that, where people would say it and it never follow through. One of the guys on my route mentioned that he had, his brother had a bunch of Transformers, and he was pretty sure they were just in his mom's basement, and the brother didn't really care about them anymore. And when he went home for Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, he told me that when he went home, he was going to, you know, go in the basement, and if he could find them, he was going to bring them back, and he would sell me, you know, whatever was in the box for like $100. It was just basically a gamble. I mean, it could have been a box of junk, or there could have been some really good stuff in there. But I kind of told him, I'll take a chance. It's like playing lottery. You know, you bring me back. He talked like he had a lot of them. I'm like, okay.
Well, if you have some junkers in there, people's willing to buy junkers too.
Yeah, or they're even just parts and accessories. But I mean, yeah. You know, basically the idea was he said that, you know, his brother had a lot. I'm like, well, if it's as many as you say it is, I'll give you $100 for all of it. And so he was going to do it because he knew his brother didn't care about him anymore, and he really don't care about Transformers, you know, and he was going to do it for the $100. And so after Thanksgiving, next time I saw him, he said he couldn't, you know, he went down to the basement for a few minutes, but it was basically, you know, like a jungle down there. And, you know, he didn't have that much time to, you know, it would have taken him a whole weekend to go through the entire basement to try to find him. And, you know, of course, he was there for Thanksgiving with the family, so... He looked for him for a few minutes, you know, had no luck, and then gave up, and that was it.
Well, I mean, if he'd stopped and thought, hey, I'm going to get $100 if I get these, you know, it might have been a little more incentive for him. But, you know, I mean,
well, he said he wanted to spend time with family. You know, he was there to spend time with family. He didn't want to spend the whole weekend in the basement, even for $100.
That's true. But, I mean, you know, if people are offering to give them to you, I mean, it's only fair, especially seeing as how some of these things have a lot of value. On the secondary market, but it's obvious that that some people just don't, you know, have time or the knowledge or the interest to go through, part them out, and say, hey, you know, let's put them up on eBay and see what we can get from them. I know a local comic book shop owner. He goes through me to come over and identify his Transformers. He asked me, you know, if I ever need anybody to come identify Transformers, would you mind? If I call you up, and I said sure, you know, I'll be happy to. Just give me first crack. That's all I ask. And
it's kind of like the deal I have with the comic book guy in Lexington.
Yeah, and you know, that's how I scored that Dead Mint Jetfire here a while back. You know, so I mean, he knew that was Jetfire. He didn't know that it was not complete. You know, it's missing the gun clip. He had so many other things. It like this lady from church, it was all just thrown down in a bag, and all the parts were down in there. He didn't know what part went with what. So I kind of helped him out there, and it's like one of those, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You know, I helped him part that stuff out so he could at least list it on eBay and get the premium amount for it. Otherwise he'd sell it on eBay, possibly missing parts, and not get the prime price. So, I mean, if you can work out deals like that, it's always really cool. So if you're in the market for vintage toys, be talking to your acquaintances. You never know what you might find.
Especially with Transformers, because they were such a popular toy line back in the 80s that a lot of people have them in closets and things that they've just forgotten about.
Next up, we feature our very first celebrity guest, actor Gary Chalk. That's right, Optimus Primal and Unicron Trilogy Optimus Prime himself. We interviewed Gary way back on episode 48 of TFYLP. Gary, once again, thank you for joining us on Skype today for our podcast. You're our very special guest. You want to tell us a little bit about your career and how you came into work in the Transformers television series?
Okay, sure, I can do that. Well, I guess it started about 35 years ago. I was, I know it's a, just look at these comments, but I started about 35 years ago, and I was in college and at theater school, and my acting teacher came up to me and said, listen, I have this job I'd like you to do. It's a voiceover, and it was for a nursing home. That was my first foray into it. And he said, and so I tried it, and I liked it. It was kind of fun. It was awful, but it was fun. And my English teacher back in high school said, you know, you have a career in radio. You should pursue that. And so I thought, well, I didn't think much of it. I did all kinds of different things and before I went back to the theater. But then when I finally got into it, the first cartoon series I had, I mean, I can't go, you know, page by page, but the first cartoon series I did was Kenner Classics for Nickelodeon, for Kenner Toys. And the first cartoon was called Hiawatha. I think it's on YouTube somewhere. I don't know, but it was my very, very first cartoon. And at that time, we used film. And it was a long and involved process because everything was recorded on tape, so it took a long time to do. And when I started doing the cartoons, I went, hey, I'm kind of liking this. So I came back when I moved back to Vancouver. They started bringing cartoons up, and I think the very first cartoon I did in Vancouver was Barbie. Concert of Universe or Universal Concert or something like that. And it was fun, and things started going on. I did He-Man and G.I. Joe and Kissy Fur and Camp Candy and Captain Nintendo.
You did Camp Candy as well? I remember that show.
Yes, Camp Candy. I played Muffy's dad. Well, if she wants a pony, we're going to get her a pony.
Oh yeah.
And so there was, you know, things like that, and Bucky O'Hare and Mega Man, and it just, they sort of all, I just kept doing cartoon after cartoon after cartoon, and people seemed to like it, so I just kept getting hired. And so then Transformers came along. And I wasn't the only, my only exposure to Transformers at that time was I used to do all the commercials for Transformers, the Generation 2 ones. That was back in, I guess, in the mid 80s.
Around there. Early 90s, probably.
Early 90s, maybe. Yeah, maybe it was early 90s. I can't remember.
You didn't do a commercial named called the Big Bad Battle in Bruticus, did you?
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think Gary raps.
No.
Transformers
Generation 2.
Yeah, that's the ones I did. And then I got, so I got auditioned for Megatron originally. That's who I wanted because he had the best lines. Yes, I love that. So I went in, I got called back for that, and I got called back for Optimus. And they said, okay, you're Optimus. And I went, oh, great, another show. And I just thought it was another show. I had no idea that it had such an import. And so I just started doing it. And that's how my career got started.
We've had many special guests since Gary Chalk, but not all of them were on the television series. Some of our guests were right there at Hasbro working away on the toy line we love so much. Our next featured clip has former Hasbro Transformers brand manager Aaron Archer on our show. Aaron worked on the Transformers brand for over 15 years and helped bring us many of the figures that we have on our shelves today.
Tell us what you're doing right now.
I've spent the last year and a half, pretty much as I've said, in other venues, just learning to draw and being a family man. When I say learning to draw, getting back into that, and gotten away from it. So I've been enjoying that, developing some projects, helping people like Rick out, freelance, that kind of thing. That's what I've been doing. Low key.
Awesome. So you're helping out Rick now with Play With This too?
Yeah, yeah. Some professional advice, some art contributions, you know, general support, all kinds of things. But we're having a lot of fun with it. He's really hustling it, and it's looking really nice.
Awesome. Is there anything specific that you have designed? I know you did some headshots, didn't you?
Yeah, I did some headshots, and you know, I'm looking forward to some of the lore bits to come out as the Kickstarter goes on, some of the bio things. Mm-hmm. That's some of the more fun stuff. Once the bios hit, it makes sense, some of the artwork that's been out there. So I really don't want to say too much yet.
Can't give away too much, no.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start talking about the Unicron trilogy, and I guess we'll lead off talking about the history that led up, what you can fill in from now. Well, I guess before we do that, tell us what your job was at Hasbro.
I, you know, at the beginning or when I encountered, when I started.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, go from the beginning and then how you got into Transformers and
I started in 95 on the Batman line, which was a big line for Kenner. The animated series Batman Forever had just come out. So they were doing well. I was part of the Batman Dark Knight Returns figures and the Total Justice figures, stuff like that. Aliens Resurrection. And then as Kenner was moving to Rhode Island in around 2000, I kind of volunteered to take Transformers, and they took me up on it because the guy who had been working on it, managing it, wasn't going. So it was just fortunate that I asked for that kind of gig. I'd been doing a lot of licensing work with Warner Brothers and 20th Century Fox and DC Comics through the Batman and Aliens things, even some Star Wars Lucasfilm stuff. So the relationship with Takara being so important, it made sense that someone who had spent time with licensing relationships cultivated or continued to cultivate that Takara relationship, albeit from the design side. So that's how I came to Transformers. Lucky guy at the right place, I guess. And that's how that started, and I was in design. So that represented the visual look, the feature, working with marketing, sometimes names and stories, but
so you had a good connection on pretty much every level of the every aspect of the design of the toys, from not just the design of the toys, but how they kind of were marketed, and I guess the story behind each character.
Yeah, that's with the brand that a toy company manages on their own versus a license. It takes a lot more care to, you know, make sure you don't do damage to the characters and brand. So the design, you have to go a little deeper than just putting out the next figure, the lead figure. You have to think about it because that'll represent, you know, Hasbro's asset more so than another licensee's asset.
As opposed to like DC with Batman and
you have a licensor to tell you, hey, you've gone too far, you know, and that's not right. That's not our character anymore. You know, bring it back to where we recognize him. Okay. That's good guidance. When you're running your own enterprise, You have to be really planned and cooperative to make sure that you don't do something that you don't have that babysitter of the licensor keeping you in line.
At TFYLP, we're not always about special guests. We love to do specialized discussions that are relevant to every Transformers fan and collector out there. This next clip from episode 80 features a discussion of how our hobby as a collector can impact those around us, family, friends, and spouses. Our discussion topic tonight is a topic that can tend to touch just about every collector. I know it's touched me in some form or another. Just about.
That's what she said.
At least, yes. It touched me gently and touched me in places that
I was just going to say. Kind of special. It was the first time he's been touched.
Yeah. Yeah, but it seems like about once a month I run into some kind of thing where I'm having to deal with it as a collector. And I know we're each one of us has had some kind of experience with this, but you know, dealing with friends and family and spouses as a collector, you know, I posted a video last night. Well, it was supposed to have been for yesterday, but YouTube was not being forthcoming, and it actually didn't post until early this morning. But, you know, we've all had that instance of going into a store as a collector, and you know, you're either standing there looking at the toys and somebody walks by and kind of gives you that look, or more often than not, you go through the checkout line, and there's a cashier that will ask you if you're buying these for your son, and you're like, no, I'm buying them for me. And then they kind of look at you like, you know, like you're some kind of weirdo. You know, we've all experienced it at least once as a collector. And there's ways to handle it. And I think new collectors and young collectors will really benefit from hearing us as older collectors and our experiences and our ways of dealing with it. And also, I know Megamus actually wanted to talk a little bit about something further beyond dealing with spouses and stuff that may not approve. We actually will talk a little bit later about spouses that actually do approve of our collecting and everything, and expound upon that a little bit more. Unicron, you got any experiences that you might want to share with us?
I know when I first started getting back into collecting, and you do go to the stores, and especially when you're by yourself at the store, people do tend to look at you. They're like, especially me, I'm a big dude. I mean, that's why I use Unicron. And when they see that big old guy over there in the little kid's store, it's like, the hell is wrong with that dude? But, I mean, it's something that don't let it stop you from enjoying what you do and collecting or anything, you know. It's nothing, you know. When you go in there, just you're enjoying yourself. You collect toys. There's nothing wrong with that at all, and just enjoy it, you know.
Well, that's the point that I've tried to bring across in the TFYLP minute for January 13th. You know, the bottom line is that, you know, really you shouldn't let anybody stop you from enjoying your hobby or even detract from it by giving you some kind of negative feedback. You know, we are grown men and women. I know there's women that collect too. We are grown men and women, and we collect toys that are meant for children. The target audience is children. Unless, you know, you count third party, which, you know, they're clearly for adults because, you know, on the packaging, I mean, it says 16 and up, and, you know, there's things on some third party figures that are just not safe for children. You know, a lot of pointy objects on it and everything. But, you know, as adults, you know, we like what we like. Everybody has something that they like and something that they're a fan of. And,
you know, going into a store and hearing somebody poke fun at you, I mean, it's no different than, you know, when you were kids, somebody poking fun at you like me. I mean, I got made fun of for being fat a lot as a kid. And, you know, you learn to roll with it. I mean, it does affect you in some ways, but you just got to learn to not let it affect you. I didn't want to cut you off, but I just wanted to kind of expound on that a little bit more.
Oh, no, it's fine, man. It's just something that we have to deal with as collectors, you know. I think, especially, I noticed a real big difference when the movies came out. If you were a collector before the movies, people did tend to look at you a little bit more. And then after the movies, I think you'd see other people in there buying stuff too, you know. So I think it made it a little bit more maybe mainstream, I guess you can call it.
Well, especially with Transformers. I know, yeah. G.I. Joe's, there's a lot of adult collectors out there of Joe's before the Transformers. And, you know, they tended to get laughed at too. I mean, just as much as any collector. Is there any other experiences that you've had, maybe with friends or coworkers?
Yes, actually, I go with. I mean, everybody that works with me know I collect Transformers. I have them in my office. I'm sitting on my desk, and you know they're curious about it, and they'll ask me questions about it, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I've gotten a few actually my coworkers into collecting now, and being a lot more interested into Transformers and what they ever were. And, you know, we'll get to talking about it, and it's great. You know, I really enjoy it. And it is similar with my family. Like, me and my wife will go or take my daughter with us and shopping and something. They get into it also, and, you know, it's just all around. It's a real, really enjoyable experience, especially if you have friends and family that support you. It makes it all the better of an experience.
Yeah, that is true. You know, especially like what you said, a supportive person who is important. You know, like spouses. You know, I know my first wife. She was always supportive of my hobby, but she actually was somewhat of a fan herself. But not so much as a collector. I mean, she didn't like pick them up and mess with them. But she did like to watch the movies and the cartoons and everything with me. She knew the characters. My wife now, she gets the fact that I'm a collector, but not, you know, she is not a fan at all. I mean, she likes the live action movies. To her, the cartoons are stupid and childish. You know, she kind of looks at me funny every time I watch them. You know, I have to deal with that, you know. She absolutely detests it whenever I stick in the Japanese Headmasters, Victory, or Master Force set because they're all in Japanese. And she absolutely hates it. You know, she's like, why are you watching that? You know. But other than that, she's supportive. And it's really helpful. The only time that she's not really supportive, especially over this last year, you know, given my circumstances, and longtime listeners will know those circumstances, you know, our money has been really, really tight. And what I've been able to obtain over the last year, I had to stick to a strict budget and a strict, you know, if I cannot get it through trades, then I don't get it, you know, and bottom line, that's it. And, you know, I was able to pick up some great stuff, you know, Masterpiece Soundwave, and I got to thank Swage 66 for that. You know, I mean, he hooked me up, and, you know, I was able to get a couple other third-party items that way. You know, and truth be told, all year I probably spent less than $300 total on toys, and that was all of 2013, so... You know, compared to previous years where I spent in the thousands easily, you know, that's mind-boggling. You know, my collection is not as big right now as I'd like it to be, but
hey, you know, you got to do what you can do. But it's awesome also what you mentioned, too, about coworkers. You know, I know whenever I worked at a soda beverage bottler for the last 10 years, I was always the transformer dude. Everybody is always like pointing at me. You talking about transformers again? Yeah. I
know the feeling.
I was, I didn't go out of my way, and I didn't, sit there and you should see this Ultra Magnus figure that I bought. I wasn't like that. I might be sitting at the end of the day doing my paperwork, listening to an episode or something other on my phone, and somebody say, "What are you listening to or what you watching? Transformers?" Yeah. And they all get a good chuckle out of it. But I really didn't care because my hobby is not their hobby. Their hobbies are not mine. A lot of them's talking about deer hunting. I could care less about deer hunting personally. Their passion for deer hunting is the passion that I have for collecting toys. I just don't let it bother me. A lot of my accounts that I actually serviced with that beverage bottler, a lot of them knew that I was a Transformer collector. And a couple of them actually, they weren't Transformer collectors themselves, but they collected something else. And, there's times that we get in discussions, while I was servicing their store, about, collecting in general. And it was really cool, to be able to talk to something, to a customer and relate to them on a personal level, rather than a strictly professional level. And that was really cool. Megamus, you got any thoughts and comments on this?
Not so much on that. Nice
Ooh, train.
Yes, I live right next to the railroad tracks.
when we get to the spouses, I'll have more on that. As far as what anyone does, with their collecting, and don't let other people stop you from doing what you enjoy doing. Society's changed. Before it was the nerds and, you collect toys, this, that, and the other. And now, it's socially acceptable, and it's only getting better in that aspect.
I hope you've enjoyed this look back on some past episodes of TFYLP. Please rate, subscribe, and share us with your friends. Help spread the word about our show if you enjoy it. We'll see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.
What? You're still listening? Turn us off. Come on, go play with your toys or something. Go play a video game. The show's over. Thanks for listening, but bye. Go play with your toys.